afternoon, Truth Wins team. Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny out, and it's good to be with you. Oh, something about Mary.
Something about Mary.
Wonder what's about that, her.
I recall that title someplace.
But I don't think we're not playing the movie, but it is like a title. But first, before we go to our lesson and we learn something about Mary, we'll say a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this production today. We glorify you in everything we do. We thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your revelation, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. Thank you, Father, that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and it is good. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the lives of the body of Christ, that we all are cognizant of the truth that sets us free. And we ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen. So the Mary we're going to discuss today might be a Mary you haven't heard too much about, but we were studying some ancient writings, and we came upon some knowledge of,
as a part of our doctorate program,
of Bethany, Mary of Bethany. So let's,
Mary of Bethany.
So it's kind
and
of
we all know Bethany is where Jesus stayed with the Lazarus family,
right? So it's kind of her story. It'll add a whole new depth to her. She really she was the changing woman as far as going through the glass ceiling for where women belonged and all
right.
kinds of things that you probably didn't know. But her first encounter, we'll read it and then we'll come back and discuss it.
It says in Luke 7:37-48, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. I guess he him too. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven.
Right. When we kind of did a Reader's Digest condensed version, so you might look at where we...
If you've ever read Reader's Digest.
Right. Long ago. Or any condensed version of a book, we kind of shortened part of the story.
Right.
But the interesting thing is, Mary had heard of Jesus because the disciples are there and she's hearing what's happening.
I don't even think Lazarus was not the one that was encountering Jesus. It was Mary that brought the family to Jesus.
Right. So we're not sure what sin she did, and it didn't say Mary, but we kind of know through the sequence of the stories and the writing of some old Catholic sisters, nuns wrote about her, and this is her story. What's amazing is really she must have heard that Jesus could forgive sins, that she needed forgiveness for. We're not sure what she did, but she obviously had tears, and she
was very remorse.
She was seeking salvation, which is what we should do. It's kind of interesting. This is at the time of Easter that we came upon this story that we should be seeking Jesus. And
seek ye first the kingdom of God.
She sought Jesus totally, and she actually did. Like the Pharisee was right. Back then, women didn't touch men.
In fact, I remember when we were in Australia, we're in the
airport terminal.
Terminal, right. And we obviously, this guy looked like a rabbi, very Jewish, and he was willing to talk to us. I said hi to him, and he started talking to us, and I shook his hand, and he wouldn't shake Galen's hand.
Because they don't...
They won't touch a woman.
Right, like the Wailing Wall, there's a side for men and side for women. So here we're seeing something totally novel, the fact that instead of Jesus going, get away, what are you doing, why are you touching me, he sees her repentance, he sees her heart, and he feels for her, and he goes, don't be so judgmental, you're judging her, but you didn't come through, you didn't wash my feet, you didn't do all these things, and here's somebody sitting, crying, wiping her hair, my dirty feet with her hair, and loving me, and her sins are forgiven because she's seeking the truth.
Also, I think this guy's house is Simon. I think he was Simon the Pharisee, the Simon, and later on we talk about this, the Simon the leper. I think he became leprous and God, Jesus.
Jesus, he got to know Jesus better because Jesus healed
him. Yeah, healed him. Later on they call him Simon the leper.
Right, so we'll go on to the next story that's going to tell about Martha and Mary. It's really the story of two sisters.
And Mary of Bethany.
Right, and where their hearts are. So let's go to the next one.
It says in Luke 10:39-42, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, continually listened. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.
Right. So I think, especially now that we're coming up to Easter, and the women of the world are thinking, oh, I have to have this perfect Easter dinner. Well, the perfect thing is really to have Jesus the center of your dinner.
Right.
You need to feed.
He might even feed. He fed the 5,000 and the 10,000 or whatever it was. And he could have fed them their little dinner.
Right. But we see again, Mary is at his feet continually listening. Because you know our favorite verse is Joshua 1:8, right? Don't let the word of God depart from before your eyes.
Right.
And she is taking that to heart, and she is sitting there.
Yeah, she's focused. She's meditating.
Right. Another thing we can learn is really, that's another thing for Marthas of the world to learn. Really, you're not responsible for Mary, what Mary's doing. You need to do your thing. And let God tell Mary what her thing is, because it sort of reminded me of like two sisters being tattletale, nah, nah, or whatever. Jesus, she's not helping me. Nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, it's weird that she didn't go drag Mary out and say, hey, you're not helping me.
Right, but
she went to Jesus.
To kind of tattletale on Mary.
Wow. And also, Jesus is letting her sit in front of him, which is the Jews would go, no, she can't sit. She shouldn't be there.
Right, because really the place where she was sitting at his feet was a place for men. So here's Mary being right out there to begin with.
Yeah, Mary's not taking second place here. She's right up front.
Right, and so I think it's the thing for us to know, the important thing is being right in the spirit realm the most. And then the physical realm somehow will take care of itself. Like God would have figured out a way to have it all done. We don't know how it would all been done, or maybe we all didn't need to have a big meal that day. Who
Jesus'
knows?
Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would guide us and cause us to, or allow us and probably prompt us to do the right thing, always.
Right, so we'll go on to hear a little bit more about Martha and Mary.
It says in John 11:32-45, then when Mary was come there, Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And some of them said, couldn't not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, you notice Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him.
Right, so here we see Mary, we see the value. She's had her sins forgiven. She sat and listened to his word, and now she's drawing a crowd. She's kind of doing what Jesus says to do in Mark 16 at the end, go out and preach the gospel to the world. So she's
a gospeler,
right? She's collecting people. She's telling them the word. She's telling them about all the healings, and she's doing it. And then we see Martha. Martha's still worried about the physical.
Right.
She goes, instead of, like, Jesus has told her, if you read the whole story, because we didn't put it all because it's too long, but it did say she had already talked to him, and he said that he is the resurrection and the life, and she should have known that. Instead, she's going, no, don't roll that stone away. He's going to stink.
Don't want to smell him.
So she's really...
Jesus going, talk to the hand.
Right, her journey is a long one, and it's like all of us. Like, if we get a doctor's report, today I was out praying, and I like the song. It's like, whose report shall you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
His report says you're healed, you're free.
You're blessed coming in, blessed going out, yeah. Blessed in the field, blessed in the city. Whatsoever I do shall prosper.
Right, so you need to have the right report. And instead of looking, it's not like Lazarus wasn't dead, so Martha wasn't not seeing correctly in the sense of the physical. But as we've always said, the spiritual supersedes the physical. So we're going to go on. There's more that's exciting about Mary.
Right.
Mary is, like I said,
Mary of Bethany. Everybody needs to know that.
Right.
Let's read the scripture.
But the thing that's about her is she, from way back at the very beginning, when she came in and she wept at his feet and got her sins forgiven, she's seeking God. She's loving God. She's putting him first above anything else.
Right. Another thing. Well, maybe I'm saying it ahead of time.
Okay, well, so we'll go...
Well, go ahead and say it.
We'll go ahead and read.
Read it, and then I'll talk about what I'm going about to say right now.
Okay.
Matthew 26:6-13. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, and there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work for me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever or wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial to her.
Wow.
Mary of Bethany.
Mary of Bethany, Martha and Mary. Somehow I think Martha thought if she did a really good dinner, she'd be put in the Bible. Best dinner cooker.
Best dinner cooker, yeah.
But it's probably best to be put in as the one who listened to the Holy Spirit. Because we have to figure that in a sense, she was rated right. The disciples didn't seem to get the idea that they should anoint Jesus for his burial.
Yeah, here they're thinking the physical here. They're going, oh, well, she's wasting all this ointment on Jesus. Why is she doing that? And you notice another thing I wanted to say there, that the first time she was there, she was asking for forgiveness. Jesus forgave her. That was the first verses we were reading. But now you notice she's not crying. She's not crying. She's doing it like a liturgy or like a part of a church session.
Anointing.
She's anointing him, and he said it for his burial.
Right, and I think it's interesting that she would know. I mean, because we recall way back in the beginning, Peter, he asked, who am I? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. Well, in essence, here's a woman who's listened to the Holy Spirit, who's saying, anoint him. He's the Messiah, and you're anointing him for his burial. And I think we have lost some of... We need to go back and study old scripture and get the whole story and see Jesus... Well, eventually Paul says that it doesn't matter if you're slave or free, rich or poor, man or woman.
Right.
It's really your heart that matters. So for Easter... This is our opportunity. We're hearing the story of Jesus. He died, rose again. He's gotten it so we can be forgiven of sin. So it's now up to us to be like Mary and press in and ask him.
And she's being led by the Holy Spirit here, I'm sure. Because why would she be anointing him for his burial? He did talk about it a lot, I guess, and she had heard him say it. So the Holy Spirit prompted her to do what she did there. That was an act of the Holy Spirit through Mary of Bethany.
Right, and so we have to say to you, just like obviously Jesus had told the disciples about it, they are now seeing her anoint him for burial. But it's kind of interesting to me, although I know it was considered the women's position once you're dead at the tomb to wrap you for burial. But you would have thought on the next day, which you'll have to go read this yourself. I didn't actually put the scriptures for it. And it's about the Marys who go to the tomb and then Jesus is risen. But I often wonder, like, where was Peter? Because Peter had Jesus say, you'll deny me 3 times before the cock crows. And he realized that and he'd seen all the miracles. And he'd been told that Jesus would rise on the third day. Why wasn't he there before the sun went up? The ladies were. But it is all right. For all of us. We all need to go. So
he did show up eventually after the ladies showed him and told him.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you today is don't wait to become a Christian. There at the sunrise.
Hey.
Go to a sunrise service and meet Jesus.
He's waiting. You lose.
Right, because we were discussing, like people have said... someone young dies and more people get saved at the funeral. And I always say, wouldn't more people be saved if the person was raised from the dead?
Yeah, raised from the dead. More people would
but I kind of say, to Jesus. Why were people saved at the funeral? And it's mostly because if someone young dies, it brings it to young people's attention that, whoa, you don't know when it's going to happen. So it never hurts to be the first in line. So Mary was the first in line. And now,
and really, you know, being born again is like winning the lottery.
Well, then I was going to say it's just
better than winning the lottery.
But what I was thinking, I'm on a different track, right. But I was going back to Mary, and I think my track kind of left.
Well, you're Mary of Bethany, I'm sorry.
Now my track of Mary. Mary sought what was the best thing. That's probably the key to everybody.
Right.
Put God as your priority.
First the kingdom of God. Right.
Right. She was pretty amazing. Oh, I know. It's really, she just changed. She was changing the world. So I guess there's lots of things where people are in controversy if women or men should be in church. But just look at Jesus. Jesus broke the glass ceiling for women and let them sit at his feet to learn and be part of the thing. And then actually, Paul did go on and work with Priscilla and Aquila and a lot of different people.
Right. A lot of women were preachers.
So it's time that we know what our position is. We're born again. We're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors, and we are going to do what Jesus said. We're going to get born again, like it says in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Get saved. You don't have to. I mean, that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, they go, don't you know someone who's not healed? And I can say, well, yes and no, kind of, because in reality, with Isaiah,
in the spirit realm, you're already healed.
Right. It's been done.
Jesus did it on the cross. He rose from the grave.
He took your sickness.
He took all of it.
And so why do you want it?
Yeah, why do you want to keep it?
But that's not it. But I understand a lot of people go, oh, that's different. Well, but most people, the beginning of it, it says he was wounded for your transgression, which is your sins. So if he didn't really take care of it there, then we don't really have salvation. So nobody really wants to get rid of that verse, but they want to kind of get rid of by his stripes you're healed. I'm not sure why, but we never heard Jesus say, no, I won't heal you. The people that weren't healed was their own unbelief, or possibly they're not walking in love or something. We don't know. Right. But we never heard, there's no verse that I know of, but that'll be a challenge for all of you. You can...
we've challenged a lot of people.
But we'll challenge you again at Easter. You can write at prayer@truthwins.com. Give us a Bible verse where it says, God said, nope, I'm not healing you. You be sick.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you something. Go be sick.
Well, I give you a clue.
It's not there. you'll lose.
You try and try and try. More you try, the more you realize. Like the rabbi from Burbank, he was going to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah. The more he went through he only used the Torah. And the more he investigated, the more he was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah.
Right, because all the promises had been fulfilled by his birth. So don't leave your gift on the table. It's Easter. Open your package. Get your salvation. He saved you and erased your sins. He took the iniquity of your family. So if there's dysfunction, he also took care of that on the cross. He got your peace. Your peace would be nothing missing. So you'd have finances, and by his stripes you're healed. That's your Easter gift this Easter.
Yeah.
Take it all, open it up,
your
celebrate
cup runneth
it.
Over.
Celebrate it and enjoy it. And so I look forward to getting an email that says something different. Next week, I'll tell you if I got it.
Don't be squeamish.
Oh, but also I want
bring it on.
But I also want you to not go, Paul asked three times. The answer is not no from God. It is his grace is sufficient.
Yeah, he has provision.
He has provision.
Your answer is there.
And Paul eventually, by the end of his life, for the last 2 years, figured that out and didn't have that problem anymore. So it doesn't mean we won't have trials, because everybody goes, oh, you don't believe in sick. No, we don't have to have sickness. By his stripes we're healed. It doesn't mean, it does say there'll be trials, because there are going to be people who don't want to hear about Jesus and are not happy and want to get in your face. But that trial is really simple to get through. And then you just love them and keep on going and pray the Lord of the harvest comes in their life, and then they're born again and it's all taken care of. So we'll say
so happy Easter. So we laugh at the devil. Ha 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 ha.
So we say happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Be like a Mary.
Happy Resurrection Day.
So be like, there's something about Mary. Be like her. They can say there's something about Karen.
Karen.
Karen, because we have a Karen, and she didn't like the idea that everybody says you're a Karen, you're too... Actually, Martha probably was more of a Karen. Yeah. Actually, think
Martha
of that.
Was a Karen,
she was into everybody's business. Right. So maybe we're going to change. Instead of saying, oh, you're being a Karen, we're going to say, you're being a Martha.
You're being a Martha.
So then Karen's name...
But we all want to be a Mary.
We all want to be a
Bethany.
Anyway, so we're going to say goodbye, and...
God bless.
God bless.